very familiar verses of Scripture this afternoon as we worship by studying His Word. Matthew 11:28-30, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Jesus has spoken of revelation. That is, the truth that you and I know about God comes from the Lord of heaven and earth. It does not come from nor to the wise and prudent. It comes to those who are babes in attitude and mentality. And it is the one who reveals himself to us is Jesus Christ. He receives all things from his Father. No one knows the Son as the Father knows him, and no man knows the Father like the Son knows him. And they have all knowledge of one another. With this background information, Jesus issues a great invitation. I think it is to all who heard Jesus then. It is to all who hear him now. It is to every man, whether Jew or Gentile, whether disciple or seeker, to all who will become babes. The initial step in learning the truth of God is to come unto Jesus. The person who makes this invitation is me. That is, Jesus. For he said, "Come unto me." The word "come" is used with a verb plural and generally is an exclamation. It is a statement of cheer or calling to someone to cheer them up. So it would be something like, "Here, this way, come here." It was not simply an invitation to come into his presence, but it was a cheerful word of encouragement. "Come unto me." And you'll notice that it is the invitation of a person. It's not an invitation to come to a picnic or a party. It's not an invitation to fun and carnal fellowship, but it is to come to Jesus. "Come unto me." You know, sometimes we get the idea, listening to the invitations that are issued today, that it's an invitation to things, an invitation to this and that. But when Jesus issued this invitation, it was to himself, "Come unto me." And you'll notice there are conditions of those who are invited. They're well stated here, and they are, "All ye that labor and are heavy laden." The word "labor" means to be beat out, literally, to be weary or faint, to be worn out by labor. "Heavy laden" means to lay a burden upon anyone. So we can translate that verse or part of the verse this way: all who work hard and whose load is heavy. Now that's a great deal of a qualification. "Come unto me, cheer up, come this way, follow me, all of you who work hard, and all of you who have a heavy load." You'll notice it's not to the rich and idle. It's not to the poor and idle. It's not to the schemers and the con men, but it is to the poor working slob that Jesus issues this encouraging word. And that's what the people were who were listening to him, who were responding to his words at this particular time. To put it in a very strongly implied vernacular that's used in our day and age, it'd be an invitation to Joe Sixpack. It is to the man who works, to the woman who works, to the person who strives, and to the person who carries a heavy load. And the promise of the invitation is, "And I will give you rest." The word rest here means to cause to rest up, to cause to cease from labor, to give rest to or from. And it means that I will lead you into rest. And this is the promise that God made to Israel when he was leading them to the promised land. It was to be a place of rest, not a place where they did not have work to do, but a place of rest. And he encouraged the people to enter into this rest, and some entered not in because of unbelief. There therefore remaineth a rest to the people of God. It's not to cease from work, but it is to accept the work of God with insight and faith and joy. So come unto me, to Jesus, all ye that labor, all you people who are beat out and weary, worn out by labor, and are heavy laden, all of you that are carrying burdens that are heavy, and I'll give you rest. This is a promise that I suppose almost every person can identify with. But you'll notice next that the invitation is to take and not to give. Many times we look upon God as someone who is always giving. But in this invitation, we are to take. We are to take my yoke upon you, that is lifted up and carried away as though you have owned it permanently. A yoke is simply a device that couple two things together, such as cattle or even scales. Bend your necks, Jesus said, to my yoke and learn of me. That is, intellectually learn from me. Learn by study. Learn by observation, and be informed and understand. Take my yoke upon you. Submit to me, and then learn of me. Learn what I say. Watch what I do. Learn who I am. Let me be your teacher, is really the invitation of Jesus. Again, this is a person of whom we learn, not abstract principles of things. That's one of the problems we have with Christianity, is we formulate it into a number of statements that are abstract, but Christianity is Christ. There is no Christianity without Jesus, and if we have Jesus, then we have the very essence of Christianity. If we practice what Jesus practiced, then we're Christians. We can believe all that he taught, or we can believe what the Bible says in abstract statements and not be a Christian. But we cannot believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and submit to his yoke and then learn what he teaches and do them. When we do that, we are Christian. For Christianity is a person. For Christ is a person. So we are to learn of him. And then we notice the character of the one who's doing the inviting. For I am weak. Not many salesmen would make such a pitch as to say, "For I am weak." Anyone else who wants people to follow them will manifest themselves as strong and sure. Any general who wants an army to follow him would never say, "I'm weak." Any politician who wants to have a lot of people vote for him will never say, "I'm weak." So this is unique in the history of great men. For this man to say, "For I am weak." And I think the purpose of Jesus stating this is twofold. Number one, it's true. And number two, he does not want people to be intimidated by who he is and therefore not submit to his yoke, learn of him, and follow him. Jesus said, "I am meek, enduring all things with an even temper, tender, free from haughty self-sufficiency, the exhibition of a tender spirit in dealing with others." So really what he's saying is that we are not invited to follow a mean-spirited tyrant whose moods are constantly changing and who may bark at us and drive us away with harsh words and then change his mood and beckon to us with soft things and worldly promises. Here's a man who is free from this kind of attitude, and therefore you need not fear coming to him, because I am meek and lowly in heart. And this is just the opposite of being high-minded. Jesus is of humble condition. He has simple wants. He does not have extravagant, unreachable goals and things of this nature. He's a very simple man. And we look at his birth, and it's a very simple birth. We look at his parents, very simple parents. We look at the home where he lived, and it's very simple. We look at the dress that he wore, and it's very simple. We look at the food that he ate, and it's very simple. We look at the way he moved from one place to another. It's very simple. There are no complicated characteristics to the personality of Jesus. Here's not someone who's struggling, trying to be somebody that he isn't. And when you realize that Jesus has done these mighty works in these cities, and he said these things that portray himself as being one with God the Father. And in this circumstance, no doubt, these people would be immensely intimidated in coming to him, or to in following him, or submitting to be alongside him. And Jesus reassures these people, I know I've issued a very strong invitation, but I can promise you this, I am meek. I will never mistreat you. I will never holler at you. And he didn't, even to Simon Peter, when Peter said, Ah, Lord, I'll follow you even unto death. Jesus didn't at that time lose his temper. He just said the truth, which is, you're going to deny me, Peter. And so Jesus was a mild person. He was meek and he was lowly in heart, a very simple man. Jesus is no complicated personality. He is not moody and complex, but simple and easy in his very being. He would actually, to put it very simply, be a man that you'd like to be around, rather than someone who was constantly berating you, pushing you around, showing his power, exercising it. He was a simple man. The results of accepting this invitation are, and ye shall find rest. The word find here really has two meanings. It can mean find by seeking, and it can mean to find without searching. So, ye shall find rest unto your souls. You can find this rest because you stumble upon it. You can find this rest because you seek it. But you will find it. You shall find rest. And it's the kind of rest that people who have real knowledge of what life is really desire. You shall find rest unto your souls. When one finds rest, it eases the burdens of the heart and of one's life. One of the reasons that there is so much stress among the people of America today is because few people know how to find rest. And I'm not talking about just sitting on the porch with your feet up, relaxing, which is an excellent thing to do and in no way violates the will and work of God. I've often said we've lost a lot in America because we don't build front porches anymore. And when I built my house, I built one 8 feet wide and 60 feet long. I intend to rest. Ye shall find rest, but rest unto your souls. What does he mean? He means that we can, by learning the teachings of Jesus and learning what's important from Jesus and learning what's not important from Jesus, we can lose this restless anxiety that drives us to all kinds of sleepless nights and agonizing circumstances. Because in Him and in His Word and in His wisdom and in Himself, we can rest completely and we can find rest unto our souls. Now, there's one thing that many people never think about in Christianity, and that is that Jesus Christ is a considerate person. You know, most of the time, Jesus is presented as totally inconsiderate, always demanding more than we have, always expecting more than we can give, and always abjectly dissatisfied with the very best we do. And I think people never enjoy being a Christian as long as they think they can never satisfy God. I tell preachers, you can satisfy God. The people you can't satisfy are your church members. We can satisfy God, but you may never satisfy the preacher. And therefore, we don't feel like we've ever really gotten anywhere because we have the idea that God has these expectations of us that are far beyond our limits. If we're not so tired we cannot sleep, if we're not so frustrated we don't know how we're going to make it another day, if we're not so strung out that we have stress-related symptoms of all kinds of illnesses, then it must be that we're not pleasing God. People are always talking about burning out for Jesus, or the opposite, which is rusting out. You know, well, I'd rather burn out than rust out. Well, I think there's another choice in the work of God, and that is to wear out. We don't have to look upon God as being a person who expects more of us than we can give. And Jesus emphasized that by the statement, "For my yoke is easy." And that means his yoke is apt for use, useful of things better for any use, good to be born or done. Submitting oneself to Christ and allowing him to become a yoke fella makes all things we do much easier. Can you imagine trying to pull a great burden by yourself and then someone tapping you on the shoulder and saying, "Here, I want to join you in this endeavor." And when you look to recognize the person who's uttered that statement, it's Jesus Christ, the Son of God. You know, I'd feel a lot easier, wouldn't you, if I were wrestling with a load that I'm having difficulty pulling or carrying, and all of a sudden, Jesus Christ steps up beside me and say, "Just move over, I'll wear one side of the yoke, you wear the other side of the yoke." That would be a very useful thing, and that's what this word easy means. You should, "For my yoke is easy," it's useful and helpful, and God has designed it that way. The idea that God gets glory out of seeing us bogged down to where we can't even move without because of our total physical exhaustion. I read a statement the other day in a book that I was reading where it said that if some Baptists had created the heavens and the earth, they'd made one more day so that you'd have another day to go to church. And some churches operate that way, 7 days a week. And if they could, they'd have made one more day so we could go to church 8 days a week. You know, I've changed my mind about a lot of things, and one of the things that I've changed my mind about is that God doesn't expect more of us than we can give, and that if we will enter into a partnership with him, and he's inviting us, "Take my yoke upon you. Here it is. You take it. And you put yourself in one side of it, and I'll put myself in the other side of it, and we'll pull this load together." That's exactly what Jesus is saying. "For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." And this word burden here means a specific load, the freight or lading that has to be borne. "For my burden is light." It's not heavy. It's easy to carry. Paul said to the Corinthian church, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God, who is able, will make a way that you may be able to escape or bear it." So, the invitation is from someone who is considerate. "My yoke is easy, and my burden is light." We get the idea that if we accept the challenge of Christ, not just to salvation, but just the challenge to be a Christian, that he's just waiting as breathlessly as he can to just place a load on us that'll just crush us into the ground. And I can tell you that if we have burdens we can't bear and loads we cannot carry, I can tell you they did not come from Jesus. Think about it. If you say, I have a burden that's just too big to carry, it didn't come from Jesus, because he said his burden is light. If you say, I've just got such a load that God has put on me, that my knees are just buckling under this load that God has put on me, God didn't put that load on you. And I can tell you where these burdens and these loads that you can't carry and cope with, I can tell you where they come from. They come from one of two sources. Number one, you put them there yourself. You know, we're strange creatures. Sometimes we load ourselves so heavily with life, with the idea that we'll be better people for it. That the best people in the world are the people who are straining under unbearable loads. And there is a work ethic in our culture that tells us that. And the people who've achieved great things tell us, and we look at their lifestyles and we say, now here are people who have assumed huge burdens, and therefore that's what I need to do. Well, think about it. You may want to unburden yourself some rather than burdening yourself. And the second place that unbearable burdens come from is others. Many times we let other people place heavy burdens upon us that are hard to bear. And we don't want to not bear these loads because we think that's what we ought to do. We think it would be unchristian to say, no, I refuse that. But let me tell you something. Jesus Christ has never put a burden on somebody that was heavy. Jesus Christ has never burdened people down where they stagger under a load that renders them unhappy and filled with anxious care. We can allow others to put burdens on us that we can't bear. And it's difficult to say no, isn't it? It's our nature. If you're a good person, it's your nature to say, well, okay, let me have that too. And okay, well, yeah, I can do that too. But you know, Jesus doesn't just keep on multiplying these things in our lives. We do it to ourselves, or we let other people do it. And it's not right to say that God has put all this stuff on me. And if God hadn't put it on you, then get rid of some of it. It's not an unchristian thing to say, no, I'm sorry, I've got as much as I can do. But we seldom ever say that, because there's some sort of idea that the greater burden we have, people look at us, this humongous burden, they're going to think, what fine folk we are. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. That's us. And I'll give you rest, a down pausing. It's on a again pausing. It has in it the idea of a period of time where you'll have time to recuperate and regather your strength. Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let's enter into this agreement and arrangement. I'm not going to be back here like an ox driver. And some of people, you know, sometimes we get the idea that me and you are yoked together and God is in the ox cart and popping the whip over our backs trying to get us to go. But God doesn't ride in a cart and pop a whip driving me and you. Jesus Christ comes and get into the yoke with us and shares it. He helps us pull the load. That's the whole idea. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Be my disciple. I'm not intimidating. I'm easy to get along with. I'm meek. And I'm lowly. I'm not high-minded. I'm the king of all heaven and earth. But you can sit down and talk to me. We can share a meal together. My sandals are like your sandals. They're not made of gold. My dress is like your dress. I wear blue jeans like you wear. I'm suntanned. My hands are calloused like your hands are calloused. I'm meek and I'm lowly. I don't live in a castle. I wasn't born in a magnificent room. I was born in a manger. I don't live in an ivory palace. I spent my days in a carpenter shop. I'm a meek and lowly man. And I'm not pretending, because I'm meek and I'm lowly in heart. The inside of me, my character, my being, it's not pretense. You shall find rest unto your souls, your life, your inner being, what you are. For my yoke is easy. I'm not going to put more on you than you can haul. And my burden is light. I'm not in a test of strength with you, nor you with others. Yoke up with me. Listen to what I say. Listen to what I teach. Be a part of my life, and you'll be a better person.